When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into College Football Live. I'm Kelsey Riggs, and we're coming out the tunnel with this. We're 5 weeks into the college football season, so whose stock is up, who's down, and who's staying the same? We'll break down some of the top 10 teams who went on the road this week, plus what a weekend it was for the SEC West. After a wild finish in Oxford, is there a new favorite in the West? We sort it all out. And what an emotional 2 weeks it's been for the Irish. It's Talk to Me Tuesday, so we're talking to defensive star Howard Cross III. That's coming up. College Football Live starts right now. What's going on? Welcome into College Football Live. Desmond Howard, Greg McElroy, Kelsey Riggs, hanging out with you for the next half hour. And you guys, seven of last week's AP top 10 teams faced road tests last week. And some of them were indeed tests. So let's start with the number one team in the country, and that is Georgia. Because despite a close battle with Auburn, Georgia is still number one. The Dogs rallied to win 27-20 thanks to Carson Beck and Brock Bowers. That combo was outstanding. Bowers had four catches for 121 yards and the game-winning touchdown all in the fourth quarter. And when you look at how things started, they definitely needed it. The Bulldogs have been slow starters this season with 17 points for and 17 points against in the opening frame. Last season, for context, they had a plus 102-point differential in the first quarter of the game. That was the second in all of college football. But this year, Kirby Smart's team has trailed each of its SEC opponents, South Carolina and Auburn, after one quarter this season. So let's take some stock of these top 10 teams that are on the road this past week, starting with Georgia. And Dez, is Georgia's stock up? Is it down, or is it the same after what we saw against Auburn?
Well, Kelsey and Greg, I think when you win back-to-back national championships, the standard is high, right? When you have top recruiting classes, top three in the nation every year, then the standards are very high, and the expectations are too. And I think because the expectations were so high for Georgia coming to the season, I think that their stock is down right now. They haven't played to the level or the standard that you would expect. Like you just showed, that statistic right there, Kelsey, slow starts in the first quarter of games against SEC opponents, against South Carolina, and then again last week, Greg, on the road against Auburn. I mean, it's like, hey, if Brock Bowers wasn't on the team and he didn't have a magical fourth quarter, they potentially would have lost the game against Auburn on the road. So just because the expectations are so high, the standard is so great, I think that at right now, based on what I've seen on the field, Greg, their stock is down.
Well, they do have Brock Bowers, though. I think that, you know, that's the thing, Des, is the big question for me, not that they could defend, not that they would have great playmakers, not that they might have an elite offensive line. The big question coming in is, could Carson Beck adequately replace Stetson Bennett? He's a different player. He has a different skill set. And I thought going on the road into a remarkably hostile environment, he performed really well in the ball game against Auburn. Made a lot of very difficult throws. Thought he really battled even when they didn't have great field position in the second half. Yes, he missed the throw down the right side to Oscar Delp that would have been a touchdown. Yes, he had an interception that set up the first touchdown of the game on what I thought was a pretty well-thrown ball. It's just his receiver got beat to the spot. I thought if there was one question that I had coming into the season about Georgia, it was whether or not they could replace the quarterback. And Carson Beck, frankly, in his toughest test to date, passed it with flying colors.
Well, they might be challenged again this weekend as they're back at home, but they do welcome in a Kentucky team that is undefeated. They've won 13 straight against the Wildcats. We'll see how things go for them this weekend. Let's go to the number two team in the country because they were also on the road this weekend. Michigan, they handled Nebraska pretty easily, scored on the first three possessions of the game, and the win helped Michigan extend their conference win streak to 17 games, the longest in the nation. When you take a look at what they've been able to do, it had some pretty dominant wins, scoring at least 30 points and allowing seven or fewer in each of its first five games. That's tied for the longest streak to start the year over the last 50 seasons. The other two teams to do so, Florida State in 93 and Alabama in 79, who went on to win the national championship. So that says a lot right there. We're not ready to crown any national champions just here yet on College Football Live, Greg. But let's talk about Michigan stock. Is it up? Is it down? Or is it remaining the same?
Well, it's up, and in part because the question I had coming in, could they adequately replace what they had on the defensive side of the football? And you think about the fact that they won 45-7 against Nebraska, that's great, but Nebraska had not been shut out at home since 1968. The more impressive stat defensively is that there has not been a play inside Michigan's 10-yard line all season long. That's an absurd stat when you really think about it. They, of course, held Nebraska scoreless for 55 minutes. They allowed the 74-yard touchdown run that really threw off most of the numbers as far as their averages over the course of the game. So, Dez, their stock is up big time because their defense looks every bit as good as it was a year ago, and the offense hasn't skipped a beat.
Yeah, I agree with you, Greg. You look at Michigan, and don't forget, Coach Harbaugh was suspended the first three games of the season, so it was like coach by committee, and they played well, but now they're starting to look like Michigan football. 2 weeks ago against Rutgers, last week against Nebraska, both conference opponents. I love what I'm seeing from the offense right now. It's like they're trying to catch their rhythm. You know, J.J. McCarthy's playing very well. Blake Corum is playing strong, and obviously Donovan Edwards is coming along strong right now. But you see, J.J. is one of the most accurate quarterbacks in all of college football. I mean, you look at his completion percentage, and he just has a great command of the offense. So very impressed watching them play on the road against Nebraska. So I would say that their stock is up.
J.J. McCarthy's got multiple passing touchdowns in four of five games that he has played in this season. Definitely a team that seems to be on the rise. Let's take a look at one more team inside the top 10 that had a challenge on the road. And that was number 8 USC taking on Colorado. And after the Buffs couldn't compete with Oregon last week, they lost by a touchdown to USC. The Trojans led by as many as 27 points, but Colorado clawed their way back in. Caleb Williams, he threw for over 400 yards and 6 touchdowns, and the Trojans got their 17th straight win over Colorado. This USC team is off to its best scoring start in program history. The Trojans have scored 268 points, the third most by a Pac-12 school through the first five games of the season in the AP poll era. That trails only 2013 and 2010 Oregon teams. So, USC, stock up, stock down, or is this stock staying the same in your opinion, Dez?
Kelsey, when you look at USC, you understand that they have a special talent in Caleb Williams as the quarterback who won the Heisman a year ago. But then you look at the other side of the ball in that defense. I think the stock for USC right now is going down. Obviously, the offense is very impressive. They're going to score a lot of points. They're going to get a lot of, you know, gain a lot of yards on a bunch of teams. But the flip side, Greg, is to see the defense. Seems like they have the same problems this year that they had a year ago. You know, blown assignments, poor tackling out in space. So I will have to say that right now, because of the way the Colorado came back in that second half, that USC stock is going down, Greg.
I agree with you, Dez. I'm selling right now as it relates to USC. Talking about a group that just gave 565 yards of offense, 318 yards after halftime. It's almost as if they forgot how to tackle in the second half of that football game. Two times, Colorado went the length of the field in five plays or less in 90 seconds. Then twice after that, they scored on two long, methodical drives. The thing that they just couldn't get anything right. I mean, Sanders was finding time in the pocket. Receivers started finding holes in coverage. Then you look at 262 yards for Sanders after halftime. And then against a rushing attack, by the way, which is among the worst in the country, went for 193 yards. So they only had 223 in the first four games and 193 against SC is not what you're looking for. So defensively, if SC wants to get to where they want to go, they got to take significant strides on that side of the ball. And they looked good in the first four, but, man, they came back to earth in a big way last Saturday.
They're the only team in FBS that has not trailed at any point in the season. But when you're up 27 and then you let a team claw back in, definitely still plenty to figure out for them on defense. Let's take a look now at the AP Top 10, the latest one that was just released yesterday. This is College Football Rankings brought to you by Goodyear. Georgia retained its top spot while Notre Dame re-entered the top 10. Oregon swapped places with USC, but most of the top 10 remains in place after a lack of upsets that we did not really see in this past week. So, Greg, let's go back to Georgia for a second. Should Georgia still be the number one team in college football?
No, not right now. They don't have the resume to reflect being number one in college football. You can tell me what they did in 22. You can tell me what they did in 21. But those teams aren't playing right now between the hedges and Athens. They have a big opportunity this weekend. It might feel very differently about how you view Georgia if they beat the brakes off of Kentucky. But the team that should be number one right now is Texas. Alabama's coming into their own, have played much better the last 2 weeks. Obviously, defensively, Alabama's really good. And Texas hung 34 on them. If you look at how their defensive line is performing, Dez, they are constantly able to harass the opposing quarterback. And while this past week against Kansas wasn't necessarily a great reflection of what they might be able to do, Kansas had their backup quarterback in the game. Was there a lot that you could really draw from it? I don't know. But I think they have a chance this week on a massive stage. You'll be there, Dez, with game day. I think Texas is the best team right now, but they do have a couple question marks that need to be addressed as well.
Yeah, I agree with you, Greg, that Texas should be number one right now. A very big win on the road against Alabama and Tuscaloosa. And you look at it, you know, what the defense has been able to do. You're right. You hit it on the head. A lot of attention to Quinn Ewers and the offense. But, man, that defense, they've been able to play lights out. And this is going to be a big test. Going up against Oklahoma and the Red River Rivalry or the Red River Shootout, whatever they call it this year in Dallas. Going up against this Oklahoma offense at number three in the nation as far as scoring offenses, averaging 47 points a game. Dylan Gabriel's been playing lights out, so this is going to be a huge test for the Longhorns defense. But if I had to pick a team that was number one right now today, it would be the Texas Longhorns.
Massive opportunity for them this weekend. As Greg mentioned, College game day will be there. This is Texas's first 5-0 start since 2009. That's when they last won the Big 12 and the last time they reached the national championship game. So some high expectations there. Still to come on College Football Live, Alabama, A&M, and Ole Miss. They had some big wins over the weekend. But which team stands out the most in the SEC West? Plus, Howard Cross III, whose strip sack helped seal the game for Notre Dame on the road against Duke, will join us on Talk to Me Tuesday. That's ahead on College Football Live.
This can be a legendary scene.
There is no set quite like it.
Should be a great one at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas at the Red River Rivalry, 9 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. Make sure you hang out with College game day. Oh, those teams headed to the SEC next season. Let's take a look at the SEC West. Alabama improved to 2-0 in the SEC play for the eighth consecutive season, thumping Mississippi State 40-17. Jalen Milroe ran for two touchdowns while the Crimson Tide defense intercepted Will Rogers three times. Texas A&M's defense held Arkansas to 174 yards and sacked K.J. Jefferson seven times in a 34-22 victory. Max Johnson has thrown a pair of touchdowns in each of the last two games since taking over for Connor Wegman. And Ole Miss outlasted LSU in a 55-49 barn burner. Ole Miss scored its most points in a game against an AP-ranked opponent all time, while the teams combined for the third most total yards ever in an SEC conference game. Here's a look at the SEC West standings. Alabama, Texas A&M tied atop the SEC West as they prepare to meet College Station on Saturday. Then LSU, Ole Miss stand third and fourth. Auburn, Arkansas, Mississippi State seeking their first league victory. So, Greg, normally I feel like this is a very obvious answer to this question, but this year, who is it that stands out to you so far in the SEC West?
Well, I believe the SEC West Championship game is actually going to be played this Saturday. I look at what Alabama has done the last couple of weeks and how they've improved in tailoring an offense to really suit Jalen Milroe's skill set and kind of protect the offensive line that struggled a little bit in the first 3 weeks of the season. They've adjusted, but they're now going to be tested by a defense in Texas A&M that is flat out unblockable in some spots. This defensive line is absolutely ridiculous. You just referenced it. 7 sacks last week. They also had 7 sacks the week prior. They're second in the country in total sacks. They're first in tackles for loss. They're first in sack percentage. They're third in third down defense, and they're fifth in total defense. So this defense for Texas A&M has really rounded into form. They played terrible against Miami, but that was the outlier performance. Since that moment, they've played really, really well, Dez. So I believe that the SEC West will be decided on the field in Aggieland this Saturday when Bama takes on the Aggies.
Well, Greg, no one likes the Aggies like I like the Aggies, okay? I mean, I like Texas A&M, but I don't think there's a dominant team in the West right now. But if I had to pick one, I would say maybe Alabama, just because of the way they've played lately, especially defensively. The jury's still out on Jalen Milroe. You know, he hasn't been forced to really go out there and score a lot of points because the defense has been able to play so great lately. But they're going to get tested, obviously, by Texas A&M. And then, listen, you got Nick Saban. If there's any coach that deserves the benefit of the doubt, it's Nick Saban. But I agree with you, Greg. Yeah, Alabama versus Texas A&M, that's going to be for the SEC West. And I'm excited about that matchup.
It's going to be a great one this weekend. We have so many good ones to look forward to in Week 6. The SEC, of course, the only conference that has sent teams to every single college football playoff the last 9 years since the start. Time now for our BMW Ultimate Performance of the Week. It goes to Notre Dame defensive tackle Howard Cross III. He was outstanding from start to finish in the Irish's fourth quarter win over Duke. He finished with 13 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, and that sack and forced fumble that really iced the game away. He's this week's Ben Nerick Player of the Week for the top defensive player in college football in Week 5. And Howard Cross III is with us now for Talk to Me Tuesday here on College Football Live. First of all, congratulations, a great individual honor and a massive bounce back win for you guys on the road this week to come out of this one on the right side of things after what I know was an emotional close loss the week before. Howard, what does this win say about this Notre Dame football team?
It means that we're still here. We got a lot going on, and we're ready. We looked at last week, and we understood we could have done things better. We made it a point this week to make sure we minimized mistakes. We went out, and we can do what we were supposed to do, and that's what we did.
You did, and you come out of this one with the win, but you individually also. You got pressure on Riley Leonard right out of the gate. You end the game with the sack and the forced fumble that we just talked about. Why were you able to have such success in this game?
I was only able to do what I've been doing because of my D-line. They've been pushing me, and I can't do what I do without them doing their jobs as well. And also, I'm going to give a shout-out to the scout team O-line. They're getting on me all week, making sure I was doing what I was supposed to do, and I couldn't really have done anything without them.
Here's the crazy thing. You were sick in this game. I read a quote where you said there were like 4 or 5 plays where you couldn't even breathe, but your dad, a former NFL tight end and Super Bowl champ, says to you, run it out, you'll feel better, which of course is always the answer. So what did dad have to say about your performance after the game?
I mean, he's always proud of me if I have a game like this. He's a big advocate for running to the ball no matter what, and I'm sure that even if I didn't do anything else, he would have said you could have run a little harder to the ball. But I looked at him in the stands and I'm like, I do not feel all that great, and the only thing I could see him saying was, if you want to feel better, you better run it out. So,
well, because if you do that, then you get this end result. Maybe you should play sick more often, because you were just outstanding out there. You guys are going to have another tough challenge because you go to another undefeated opponent on the road this weekend as you head to number 25, Louisville. As you're starting to break down film on the Cards, I know it's early in the week, but what are some of the different challenges this high-scoring offense presents this week?
The quarterback is really good in the pocket. Even when he gets pressured, he doesn't seem that really phased with it. Their offensive line is really good, as well as their running backs. They know where to go. They could find the places where there's openings, and they make the team pay for it. So we're going to make sure we focus on that this week and do what we've been doing every week.
Well, I hope for your sake that you're feeling much better, but also what an impressive performance all the way around last week. Congratulations and best of luck the rest of the year.
Thank you so much.
All right, still ahead on College Football Live. Saturday had it all, from the insane comebacks to the crazy one-handed catches and the field storming. We'll put a bow on week five after the break. Saturday, number 12, Oklahoma takes on number 3, Texas. Oklahoma trying to avenge last year's shutout loss. Noon Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. It's time now to check on the Capital One rewarding performance, and Caleb Williams leads the voting after his 406 passing yards and 6 passing touchdowns against Colorado. But Ray Davis not far behind. Don't forget to get your vote in on YouTube.com/@ESPNCFB. Speaking of big performances, check out this amazing one-handed grab by Bowling Green's Finn Hogan against Georgia Tech on Saturday. Impressive stuff. But Dez, we saw a good one from Florida's Ricky Pearsall last week as well. Which one was better?
I would have to go with Florida's Ricky Pearsall, and this is why. Because when you're about to get hit, the body has a tendency to tighten up a little bit, and sometimes you can even get gator arms. And Pearsall, no, he was about to get sandwiched between two defenders, yet and still, he grabbed it, brought it in, took the hit, and maintained control. So I think that that was a better catch because the level of difficulty when you're knowing you're about to get the double whammy.
He had guys draped all over him. Here's another stat. Entering Saturday, FBS teams had lost their last 892 games when trailing by 25 or more through 3 quarters. That is not, Greg, what we saw from Baylor. They trailed by as many as 28. Down 25 in the fourth quarter, they win. Greg, how impressed were you by this comeback?
Amazing. There's absolutely amazing. You get the interception, you get the fumble, and you put together 10, 11 play drives. And Monterey Baldwin, 5'9", 168, 36 yards to the house, man. Super awesome performance by Baylor. Man, you got to be just dying if you're UCF.
One more video you have to see before you go. And check out the security guard from Ole Miss as fans rush the field. Doing his best. I mean, one guy versus all of the fans. But then all of a sudden, the poor lady at the very end. The video just ends there because it's like, oh, gosh, did he just do that, Des? I mean, my man's trying.
Yeah, she got a little too close. She got a little too close. You got to duck and dodge.
Oh, watch out. We'll see you tomorrow.